This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, today in NPR Studio 4A in Washington. Since 1962, the Chieftains have fiddled and whistled and piped and danced their way around the globe. When they started, traditional Irish music was obscure and endangered. Through cycles of greater and lesser popularity, they and their allies have helped revive a musical art form that's recognized as an important strain of world music, a key component of much American folk music, and along the way, they've become an institution. The Chieftains are with us today. We'll introduce everybody in a little bit, but if you have questions for members of the group about what they do, how they do it, and why they do it, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is talk@npr.org. But first, we brought them here to Studio 4A for a reason. Let's hear some music. The Chieftains. Chieftains with us here in Studio 4A. Let me introduce the members of the band. They are Patty Maloney on whistle and pipes, Sean Keane and John Palatsky on fiddle, Kevin Conniff on the bodhran, Matt Malloy on flute, Jeff White on guitar, and Trina Marshall on harp. And I'd want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. And if... those of you in the studio audience here in 4A have any questions, you just step up to the microphone at the front there, and we'll get around to you too. Patty Maloney, let me begin with you. You, as I understand it, founded this group back in 1962?
That's right, and in fact, during the 50s, we were thinking about it and working around different combinations and trios and duets and things like that. But we struck that happy note in 1962 and prepared music for our first album when it came out then. We've got 44 of them now.
44?
44, yes.
44. And how many members of this group were in that group?
Not anybody. In fact, Sean came along about 2 or 3 years later. And but I'm the sort of the survivor. We have two founder members back home who decided after 3 or 4 years that they had enough of this traipsing around the world, and that's Sean Potts and Michael Tubridy.
Mm-hmm. Well, all that time traipsing around the world, as you put it, yes, you're spreading the gospel, but that's a difficult life, isn't it?
Fairly tough, and tough on family life, but it's like a vocation, you might say. And so we've stuck with it, but it's been a very interesting journey, one might say, and I think we've captured it all in just recently brought out an Essentials, it's called Essentials album, and a sort of the first CD is of music, the early music, unaccompanied by other great artists, and then the second one is our collaborations with various artists, from Jimmy Galway to Sting and the Rolling Stones and so on.
Mm-hmm. We want to get as many listeners a chance to get in this conversation as possible, so why don't we begin, and we'll start with Patrick. What an unusual name for a caller on this program. Patrick joins us from Statesville, North Carolina.
Hello, how are you, Paddy?
How are you doing, Patrick?
How are you doing? I'm from the Liberties.
Oh, one of ours. Goodness.
In Statesville, North Carolina. That wasn't on the map when I was growing up around the Coombe.
Well, we have a Liberties man here, Kevin Conniff, and
right.
Sean Potts we used to have as well.
I remember seeing you guys in the Chariot in Ranelagh.
Oh, good Lord.
The Charioteers.
A few of us, yeah. There was three of us at that time. That group, yeah.
And I met Brendan O'Doul there a little while ago. I was home in Dublin there last year, and I met Brendan. He's
right.
Doing well.
That's right. He's in with RTE Irish Radio.
That's right, Brendan.
Well, it's great to hear from you.
Great Patrick. To talk to you, and the best of luck.
Thank you very much,
good
Patrick.
Good for another 40 at least.
Oh, yeah. We're just starting, you know.
Just starting, right.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks
bye
very
bye.
Much for the call, Patrick. Let's try another caller, and this will be Joe. Joe's with us from Kansas City in Missouri.
Kansas.
Hello, Patty.
Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I've seen you, mm-hmm. followed you for years and years. I want to say Gorma Hagat.
Oh, the Fajrotwa.
And also, I have a question for you. Are you an open-fingered piper or a closed-fingered? I've never been able to tell from watching.
I'm a kind of a mixture. You know, I sort of developed my own style between close and open style. But Leo Rousham, the king of the pipers as he was, he taught me, and he was more of an open style piper. But as years went on, I think there's a bit of closeness came into my style of piping as well.
What's the difference?
Well, you know, if you were playing the chanter, which is the melody instrument here, the open would be, and the close side would be sort of pipping out the notes, mm-hmm. instead of playing them openly.
And when
very
we,
well,
and
thank
when,
you.
Very well done. And also, I want to tell Matt Malloy that, Matt, you blow James Galway's doors off. He tongues all his notes, and you play like a piper, and I can hear it in everything you do. You're brilliant altogether.
Oh, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, well, no, thank you, and thank you again for all your years of brilliant work. Thank you. And
you're very
thanks
welcome.
Thanks thank for the you. Call, Joe. One other question, Patty, about the pipes. We think of the pipes. Everybody thinks of the big Scottish bagpipes,
yes,
the war
yeah.
pipes.
Yeah.
Those are the Illan pipes.
Illan pipes, and a few hundred years old, unlike the bagpipes, which we gave to the Scots many years ago.
Uh-huh.
And
look and see what they did
that
to
joke
it.
Yet. But these ones are a little more sophisticated. The chanter has 2 full octaves on it in comparison to the bagpipes is confined to the 9 notes. So this allows you to play with symphony orchestras as we do on and off and with other musicians. So you have much more flexibility in pieces of music that you choose. And, of course, the music that we play going back hundreds of years, the reels and jigs and slow airs and hornpipes and hop jigs and slides and polkas. And there's a huge variety. This is one of the things I think about Irish music that makes it so popular, the tremendous range of variety of pieces and themes and that you can, when we visited China, for instance, I know they have 200 folk instruments over there, but a lot of their themes and the songs that they sang and performed wasn't too unlike our the story behind what we do. Maybe not the tunes, but the you know, they had events that took place and songs of love and songs of war and misery and everything like that. Wasn't too far away from what we do ourselves.
I've heard the Uilleann pipes described as sort of a cross between a vacuum cleaner and a whoopee cushion.
And a whoopee cushion. I must remember that one. I mean, I know there was a there was a circus man said it's like an octopus. You know, it's wrapped around you there, but. Just to describe it to the listeners, Uilleann is the Irish, the Gaelic for elbow pipes, or union pipes they've often been called. And you have a bellows under the right arm and you pump the wind into the bag on the left and you squeeze the bag and hopefully out she comes.
We're going to have to take a short break. We're here with the Chieftains live in Studio 4A. If you'd like to join our conversation, our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation. We'll be back after a short break. And this is NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're here today in Studio 4A with the Grammy Award-winning group, The Chieftains. Our guests are Patty Maloney, Sean Keen, Kevin Caneff, Matt Malloy, Jeff White, Trina Marshall, and John Palatsky on fiddle. If you have a question for us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. If you live in the Washington, D.C. area, you can also hear the Chieftains tomorrow night at the Kennedy Center here in Washington, D.C. Let's get another caller on the line, and this will be, that's not the right number. This will be Craig. Craig's calling us from Waterford, Connecticut.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Craig. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I've enjoyed your music for years. My quick question is, I remember from the liner notes of Long Black Veil that when the Stones showed up to play Rocky Road to Dublin with you folks, they brought a traveling bar. I'm just curious as to how well you guys were able to hang with them, or was it a case where they had trouble hanging with you?
I think you nailed it there when you said hanging out with us, because we thought at one stage they weren't going to turn up, but they did come at 7 o'clock in the evening. And well, they had their entourage and people and a few bottles of whatever. We also had it was a big party in the studio, you might say. And Jean Butler was there. She was dancing with the Chieftains at the time. And so the party was going on about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was getting very nervous. Nothing was on tape because we were all just going for it. And I said, lads, do you mind if I press the button? And so away they went. And so it was a great party, or a great session that we had. And I had to do a mechanical fade on it because I couldn't get them to stop. They just kept going and going. And afterwards, of course, we retired to the Ferryman, a pub around the corner, who stayed open for us, and we had a few pints of Guinness until 6 in the morning. But a great occasion was had by all, let's put it that way.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for years of pleasure, and I look forward to further years of pleasure.
Thank you very much, Craig. Thank you.
Take care.
I wonder, do you get grief sometimes from other people in the traditional community, the music community, for doing things like playing with the Rolling Stones?
I think after, even when we made our first album, there was a little bit of that from the purists and that, but they overcame, you know, they got over it all and began to do the same thing themselves, a lot of them. But I think we did get a lot of grief until we made that album, and when they realised, my heavens, we have Sting and we have Roy Cooder and Marianne Faithfull and Van the Man and Sinead O'Connor and people like that on this album, that the penny dropped and say, well, fair play to these lads. I think that's when it really happened, that we were totally accepted then.
Let's talk now with Paul. Paul's calling from Denver in Colorado.
Hello.
Hi.
Paul, how are you doing?
Hi.
Good.
I was just calling. If you guys were aware of, in the past 15 years or so, in punk rock kind of a movement with fusing punk and Irish folk music, there's a couple of relatively well-known bands in the punk scene, like Dropkick Murphys or the Flogging Mollies, if you guys were aware of that and kind of what you thought about it, if it was...
If you could see a couple of the hairstyles here in 4A.
Well, I don't think we'll ever get into the punk scene, but the rap stuff either. That's a bit too much for me. I had enough of it at the Grammys this year. But anyway, I mean, it's there for somebody. A lot of people obviously love it, but I think it'd be a step down the ladder for the Chieftains to go down that road. We are aware of them, the Dropkick Murphys, whatever. I only heard about them last week, but I'm sure they're great fun.
Yeah.
And but bands come and bands go, but the Chieftains, we live on forever. That's my motto. I think music tells the tale in the end. You know, there's always an audience out there, and during the 70s, and when there was a decline in the folk rock scene, we seem to be going up and getting more popular. So I think the secret is in what we actually do that people love, and we seem to be building an audience all over the world. It seems to be getting bigger. Now we're trying to slow down a bit after all these years. They're not letting us at all. You know, the tours and the concerts and all that seem to be going really extremely well.
Mm. Thanks for the call, Paul.
You're welcome.
How about another tune?
Right. This is a piece of music called Carolyn's Concerto, and the great harper of the 17th century, Irish harper. Trina was going to get us going on this.
Chieftains here in Studio 4A, and let's get a question from the studio audience.
Hi, I'm Mara and my husband occasionally threatens to take up the Ullin pipes. And is there, how would you get started with that? Is there such a thing as a starter set?
Yes, there isn't. In fact, for his penance, poor chap. There's the practice set, and which is just the bag, bellows, and chanter, and without the drones or regulators attached to it. And that would be my advice, in fact, to start up with the practice set first.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I do notice that something is missing from what you see in front of a group of musicians ordinarily, and that's a sheet music.
Yeah, it's all up here. Even when we play with orchestras, we do quite a few orchestral concerts of music that we've done for films and other pieces and that. But orchestras are amazed at the fact there's nothing out there. It just happens without the music. So I think we only refer to the music when we perhaps learning tunes at the beginning or whatever. But most of this tradition is passed on by ear. You know, my grandfather was a flute player, and Sean's parents and Matt, of course, and all that. And so a lot of the music is picked up just by listening to tunes. And maybe Trina, of course, Trina played with the Radio Éireann Orchestra. She was the lead harper with the orchestra. But she's now got the message, and she's seen the light, and she's gone, and she's gone on to the traditional harp, and very well too, let me tell you.
Let's get another caller on the line. And this is Bill. Bill calling us from Madison in Wisconsin.
Yes, I have a couple questions. The first one, is it true that a Voron player does that because he is incapable of being trained for anything useful?
Voron players come in for all the drummer jokes. And, Seamus Ennis, who is a great piper, once said the best way to play a Voron was with a penknife. So, yeah, we come in for a lot of stick. I just plow on regardless.
I was also wondering if it was true that the music for the American National Anthem was written by Tuur Carolan.
No, definitely. I only heard that recently. I think that's another joke or something.
All right, thank you very much.
I don't think, Carolan didn't write it, definitely not.
And who was he?
Carolan was the great harper, the blind harper of the 17th century, who travelled around Ireland on a horse, and he'd come and stay with you for a week or a year, depending on how you treated him. And for the guests that might attend, he would compose pieces of music in their honour. So there's two volumes of O'Carolan music to be had.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is William. William in Louisville, Kentucky.
Hello.
How are you doing, William?
I'm just terrific now, thanks. How are you?
Ah, oh, fair to middling. Could be worse.
Great. Well, I wanted to, I've always wanted to talk to you guys, and I wanted to say to Kevin that he's never known it, but he was one of the people who taught me to play the Balrog.
Must have been by proxy, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Back in the 80s when I discovered this music and started learning to play, there was no one to teach me. So I would listen to tapes and CDs and listen very, very carefully to the Balrog player and what he was doing, and I would try to learn from that. So Kevin and Ringo McDonough and Robin Morton all taught me how to play the Balrog.
Oh, right. Ringo's a great player, yeah.
Good.
Tell us a little bit about the instrument. What makes it special?
Well, there's nothing particularly special about it. The same instrument is found in most cultures, insofar as it's an animal hide stretched on a hoop. It's in Native American culture and most African cultures, and we've come across similar instruments in China and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just different ways of playing it. In Ireland, we play it either with our hand or with a stick.
And double-ended there. Not
yeah, that can be overdone, but yes, that's used. And you can use the rim as well.
Thanks for the call, William. Are you still playing?
Yes, I am. I'll be playing tonight.
Oh, good for you.
have a great show. Break a leg.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Here's an email question. This is from Tim in Michigan. What do the chieftains think of Americans performing traditional Irish music, Patty?
Well, we're very impressed, and perhaps one of the reasons why we're so popular, we tour here for 3 months every year, and it's amazing to go into little pockets, small little towns, and discover bunches of musicians playing these instruments, and we always extend an invitation to local musicians to come and join us. We've been doing this for about 30, 40 years now, to join us at the end of the concert for a little jam session. And it's been proved, I know on one occasion we got 35 musicians and the promoter nearly went mad because of the insurance situation, but they all joined us on stage. And what a sound. It was fantastic.
So you don't have to be Sting or Van Morrison to join the Chieftains on stage.
Oh, no, not at all. And God only knows who turns up at our shows, these people. I know Van came to San Francisco or Santa Rosa. It was up in one of the wineries. Beautiful setting we were playing in. And
can't imagine why that attracted Van.
But he telephoned and I said, well, listen, come up and sing a song or two. So he actually came on and sang about 7 or 8 songs. And it was a great night, needless to say. But Van, his version of Shenandoah from the Long Journey Home has to be the best version I think that I've ever heard. And it's always different. He puts some little twist into it every now and again in a true Irish style, traditional style. And this is one of the great things about Van. He has a new country album has just come out, incidentally. So he's following us with our Down the Old Plank Road, for which, incidentally, Jeff White from Nashville here. Jeff, was the sixth Chieftain and gave us tremendous assistance in discovering some of the tunes and players and putting it all together. So we always have Jeff with us as much as possible now when he's not with Vince Gill or Lyle Lovett.
We're talking today with the Chieftains. They're with us here in Studio 4A. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. How about another tune?
Right, okay. Well, here's a polka and a little song called Peggy in Littermore, Peggy from Littermore in County Galway, which Kevin will sing. But first of all, the polka. Right, girls?
Littermore, a breed of gum, a kite of gum, she peg and then it's fair. Hit bar a bit and you will see that pair of us on toys. Oh, guide him, me must store. Me look round him on the knee, she peg in Littermore. The east gardena, galliva, a chart the near the court. The sun, the scally, gill and all the back of decent shore. It's all guide him, me must guide him. I'm on the knee, she peggy little more. It's all guide him, me, you can guide him, me, my store. Me, little girl, I'm on the knee, she peggy little more.
Chieftains are with us this hour on Talk of the Nation. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. We're going to have to take a short break. More with the Chieftains when we come back. This is NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, live in Studio 4A with the Chieftains today. Here are the headlines from some of the stories we're following here today at NPR News. The Pentagon has released thousands of pages of transcripts from hearings involving detainees at Guantanamo Bay Naval Base. The documents reveal for the first time prisoners' names, nationalities, and background information. And AT&T plans to cut about 10,000 jobs if its deal to acquire Bell South is approved by regulators. Company officials say most of the cuts would come from attrition. You can hear details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, an experiment in cross-cultural relations debuts this week. Two families trade races. The show is called Black White. Executive producer Ice Cube will join us. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Now, if we continue with the Chieftains, if you'd like to join the conversation, if you have questions for the band about their career or the career in Irish traditional music, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. But right now, why don't we hear some music?
Right. Piece of music, theme music from Barry Lyndon, which got us an Oscar, and Winona Herdon, the Women of Ireland.
Music from Barry Lyndon. That and the photography were the best parts of that movie, I must say.
Indeed, you're very right, indeed, yes.
I wonder, what do you do with your Oscar? After watching the show last night, I was wondering, keep it on the mantelpiece?
Would you believe it? Somebody else grabbed it because we weren't there, but that's how it happened.
Somebody made off
Leonard,
with it.
Yeah, Leonard Rosman and the late Leonard Rosman, because he did the other incidental music that was mm-hmm. happening at the time. But we only got to hear about it after the ceremony was over, but there we are. Anyway, we have our 6 Grammys up there and 22 nominations and we've been nominated a few times for Oscar Music for the foreign film category. Mm-hmm. 2 other films that happened. But there we are. That's the story.
Here's an email question we have. This from Kanya in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a classically trained musician, a French horn player, and I took up the whistle about 10 years ago. I'm still struggling with breaking out of the strictures of classical music to really let loose with my gigs and forget about my reels, he adds. What advice do you have?
Well, I think, you know, once you get over the mechanics of the instrument and start to think about the music and just let it flow, you'll find that'll happen. You know, I've experienced that before. Like even when James Galway, we did 2 albums with James, mm-hmm. When we were rehearsing and that sort of thing, there was a certain amount of that attached to James's style of flute playing. But he also, you know, overcame quite a bit of that and as a classical musician. And now he's playing the tin whistle himself, of course.
Everybody wants to get into the act.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Now let's get another caller on the air. This is Valerie. Valerie calling from Rockford, Illinois.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, Valerie, yes.
I wanted to say, first of all, a very heartfelt thank you to you for your wonderful contribution to the world of music. I'm also a classically trained musician, and I teach kids here in Rockford. I work with anywhere from babies to age 14 in one capacity or another. And I use your music all the time for instrument free play and for circle songs, especially right now in the month of March. We'll be doing Boppy, Flow, and Spike next week. And I've always wondered, where does that title, Boppy, Flow, and Spike, come from?
I'm afraid you'll have to ask the man himself, Van the Man, because that was one of the tunes that Buffy, Flo, and Spike, he came up. I haven't a clue what he was at or where he was coming from, and it goes back a long way. So probably Van probably doesn't know either.
All right, okay, thank you.
Well, have a good time with it, whatever it means.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you, Valerie.
And let's go to Patrick, another Patrick, this one calling from Sacramento, California. Patrick, you there? Patrick, I think, has left us.
Gone home drunk.
Why don't we try here? This is John. John's calling from Traverse City in Michigan.
Hi, Neil. Again, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Once again, a brilliant show. Pat, if my grandfather were still alive, I would immediately call him and tell him that I just spoke with you. He thought you were brilliant, and from my grandfather, I would say to you, thank you for everything that you've given.
You're very welcome.
The Irish have had an incredible influence on American history. From the Civil War, you can hear, I think, an influence in music coming from the South. Do you have any comment on that?
Yes, I 6 or 7 years ago, I was embarking on a project, and I had a lot of research done for me by some people at Trinity College who gave me my honorary doctorate. Showing off now, but it was something that eventually I didn't get around to, but maybe one of these days. I got a lot of material and a lot of the tunes, and there's some wonderful stories. In that last film that Scorsese made on the Irish, it was an amazing scene where there was one battalion of the Confederates and another battalion on the other side.
Gangs of New York?
Yes, Gangs of New York, that's the one, yes. And not Gangs of New York, sorry, it was another film on the Civil War. But they both came face to face, but one had the blue flag, one had a green flag, and they just faced one another, and they said, "My God, how are we going to fight?" And they did have to, in fact, go into battle, which was very sad. But they were all conscripted as they came through Ellis Island, a lot of them, and so one bunch went one way, and the other went the other way. It was quite a touching scene. And I had the pleasure of playing some Irish music during that particular scene.
Well, Pat, once again, thank you for everything that you've given, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
We do our best. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, John. You've also done a lot of work on tracing with musicians, with collaborations, the influence of Irish music on American music.
American music, as you explained about Jeff White, Jeff came up with quite a few pieces as well. Even when I was growing up, you know, and we have these house hoolies and parties in the house, and the dancing, the set dancing would be going on. But there'd be a round of songs during the evening, and a lot of them, like John Prine, who got a Grammy, must congratulate John Prine this year. He sang a song on our The Girl I Left Behind in Tennessee. But I remember my grandmother singing that song, you know, at these little house parties, and Dark as a Dungeon. Vince Gill did Dark as a Dungeon, Way Down in the Mine, and wonderful stuff. It's a pity we don't have more time, because Jeff sings an awful lot of these songs. He's brilliant.
Well, I remember visiting Ireland many years ago and hearing music that sounded an awful lot like American country. You know, Take Me Back to Castle Blaney.
Yeah. Well, well, that's another scene.
Nashville East, if you would.
That was the old show band days, you know, and there's not an awful lot of it around. What would you say, Sean?
No. We call it the Culchian Irish music.
Culchian Irish music.
I'll leave it at that.
We'll not ask for a translation of that. We're here today with the Chieftains in Studio 4A, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News. Here's an email question we have from Ray. He's asking about Derek Bell, asking if you've, he says, we miss him. Any favorite stories of Derek Bell, your former harper?
Oh, yes, my old ding-dong bell, sadly missed. I don't think there's a day goes past, but he comes into conversation or somebody asks me questions or he's around there someplace. He hasn't gone away. Once a chieftain, always a chieftain, dead or alive. But Derek was a great character, and there's a book to be written about that man. He was very eccentric, a brilliant musician, of course, a genius, and played all four families of instruments. And even in Dr. Zhivago, you know, the little, that was, he was playing one of the cymbal arms on that particular film score. He was just a terrific character and my best friend, you know.
I guess everybody misses him. We wanted to thank you particularly for taking time out on tour, one of your rare days off, particularly, I assume it's a rare day off in the month of March.
It is indeed,
for you.
Yes.
What's your relationship with the month of March? Do you love it or do you hate it?
Well, we're out and about. It's a great time for concert work, and we usually start up around the first week of January and end up at the end of March. We've been away from home on Patrick's Day. I don't think I can ever remember being at home on a Patrick's Day. One of these days we will get back and play, because we've been asked many, many times to stay at home and play St. Patrick's Day. But we're in Carnegie Hall for the 22nd time this year. And we have the great orchestra from the Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, of course. They're joining us in Carnegie Hall on St. Patrick's night. And it'll be a great home.
And tomorrow night here in the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. We have 4 minutes left. Time enough for another tune.
All right, yeah. This is a lovely tune we did with Sting, actually, sang Mogilamar, My Great Hero, and a few reels to finish then afterwards.
Good.
Right, okay.
Shemalek Mogilamar, Shemahazer Gilamar, Sunna shenny void as hain, O quick again, Mogilamar. Weep and pain are all I know, my heart is sore, my tears aflow. Since we saw him go, our sprightly lad, no word of him have we alas. Mogilamar, shame on
And let me thank our guests this hour, the Chieftains, Patty Maloney, Sean Keen, John Palatsky, Kevin Kneff, Matt Malloy, Jeff White, and Trina Marshall. Thanks to their crew, Mark Horton and Larry Walker. And thanks to our crew here, Chris Nelson, Kevin Waite, Kimberly Jones, Marty Curcius, Flawn Williams, Gwen Uten, Barry Hardiman, and Sarah Hannah. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.